Amen. You may be seated.
Teach us today, Pastor.
And so, as we begin this morning, let me tell you a story, true story, happened many years ago. When I was just starting out in ministry, I was in Augusta at a church, and that church was very active, just like this one is. Wednesday nights were still a thing back then. Wednesday nights are still a thing here, too, but they really were a thing there, and a big Wednesday night supper and all the programs that went on, choir practice and all of that. We had a young woman who had recently started attending our church. She was a lovely person, a single mom with a couple of young kids, a working mom who really had to balance all of those things that working single moms do. And so one Wednesday night, she'd gotten involved with the choir. One Wednesday night, she came a little late, trying to rush to get her kids. And I should explain that at that time, there was the main church building. The children's building, where the preschool was, actually a different building, up a little flight of steps. You know, and they, at one time, I guess they'd been beautiful little steps. They had brick pavings on that. But over time, those had worn a little bit, as bricks and pavement do. And so as she was running with her kids to get up the steps to get her children into child care, she fell. She fell and she broke her ankle badly. And so what happened next was a great... I'm going to get the screen up somewhere. Josh, I got the clicker. You want me to click it? Okay. So what happened... I saw the shape of a church in action, because immediately there were people that rushed around her. She had spilled her purse and they began to put it, and she was, I think she might have even been crying, but she was close to tears, and they came and comforted her and helped her get everything back together. A couple of others got her children and went and made sure that they were taken care of. A few others looked around and said, is there a doctor in the house? And I have to tell you, at that particular church, close to the Medical College of Georgia, we had about as many doctors there as we have teachers in this church. There were all sorts of doctors. So somebody ran into the choir practice and got actually Dr. Robert Hill. I can't even remember the names of the people that were involved in this whole story. And so, you know, Dr. Robert Hill, he was the chief of surgery at St. Joseph's Hospital, and he got and he recognized immediately that her ankle was broken, so called an ambulance, and they transported her about the three blocks that it was over to St. Joseph, and he operated on her and put a pin in her ankle because it was badly broken. And so the other church members that were around that heard about it began to work and care, and some people got some things organized that, so that her kids would be picked up and taken to school, and other people organized some meals that would come to her house and to help her through this time. This person who had really only been attending the church a month, people really, really reaching out to her in just incredible, incredible, wonderful ways. That church, like this one, was a wonderful, loving church, still is. So the next morning, after all this had transpired, when I got to church, there were two phone calls. There might have been more than that, but two that I remember. One was from a man, and I even remember his name. His name was Monk Colkey. Monk called and said, you know, those stairs have needed to be repaired for a long time. We keep putting that off. I'm going to write a check. I don't care who it takes. You know, I don't have to bypass the trustees or whoever. Get those fixed. We don't need anybody else tripping. And so that took place. And then another person, maybe I shouldn't mention his name, but Teresa will remember him well, calls up and he says, I heard that this young woman that's not a member of our church, because she wasn't at that time, fell last night. And I just wondered if we got enough insurance, because, you know, she might sue us. And so I just want to make sure she's covered with insurance. And so what I'm here to tell you is that is a picture of the church in action, the shape of a church in action, because when we talk about spiritual gifts and people, the way that they minister and serve, you can see in action there. You see the gifts of mercy and helps as people came around her and cared for her. You saw the gifts of hospitality and beyond as people went beyond, you know, the call of duty to arrange for her children to get to school and to daycare and arrange for the meals to be delivered to their house. All of those things you see. Gifts of administration. You see gifts of healing in the doctor who came and cared for her. You see gifts of giving in the man that called up and said, I want to pay to get that done. And you know what? You even see other gifts in the person who called up and asked about the insurance. Because I would say he has the gift of maybe discernment or wisdom. Now, here's the thing. I can guarantee you that the people that have those gifts of mercy and such tender hearts, and sometimes the people that have the gift of discernment and prophecy and those kind of things, don't get along real well. Right? They can't imagine why one is being like the other. But the church, we need it all. We are better together. And of course, there are many stories that that I could share about our great church, and will. Maybe not this morning as we're getting along, but you know the stories that we have around here. So we're in right now in this series called Shape. Many of you are in a small group or a Sunday school class that's digging down even deeper in it. But on Sunday mornings, we've been discussing it the last couple of weeks. And shape is this little acrostic for spiritual gifts, for heart or passion, abilities, sometimes I like to say aptitude along that, personality and experience. And all of us have a unique shape, every single one of us. And as we become part of the church of Jesus Christ, God has gifted us each with a particular shape. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. I don't care if you are 8 or 98. God has shaped you for service in ministry. And that's the way it works. It works when we come together as the church of Jesus Christ. When we see that, we see the body of Christ at work, and we see incredible ministry take place. And so this week, we have been looking at, or if you haven't already in your small group or Sunday school class, we've been looking at the H part of that, heart or passion. And so I wanted to talk just briefly on that, because I know y'all have looked at it a little bit more detail. But heart, or you might say passion. And so I was thinking about what's a way that you can talk about what your passion is or identify it. And I would say it this way, it's what ticks you off and what makes you tick. What ticks you off and what makes you tick? In the context of looking and trying to be like Jesus, what ticks you off and makes you tick? Not just what ticks you off in general, because maybe it's bad drivers, okay? That is not your ministry. But as you look at the life and ministry of Jesus and see the things that he was concerned about, that made his heart explode as he saw the injustices. What is it that makes you mad as you look around and see that? What ticks you off and you would respond to that? That may very well be your passion. You know, the mistreatment of children. The way that we tend to forget sometimes our vets, particularly those that may be suffering illness, looking around and seeing the environment and the care of God's kingdom. I could go on and on and on. People that are in difficult situations after an event like Florence, you know, what is it that you are passionate about? What is your heart's passion? There's a couple of verses that you looked at this week. One, as the face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. And again, let me say, you know, every morning you get up, you look in the mirror, That's a unique person. There's only one of you, that unique person. And God has called you and equipped you in unique ways. And then a second one would be, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for human masters. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. And so those passions that you have, those things that God has called to you, and that combination of all of those things coming together is what makes the church, and what makes the church unique and passionate. And so, as we continue to think about the way that we are shaped, over the next few weeks, we're going to do something called Shape Stories. We're going to look at some individuals you may or may not know in our church who have unique stories and unique ministries. Many of you who don't know Joe Minchoffer have said Santa Claus goes to our church. And Santa Claus does that. He hasn't always been Santa Claus, though. Joe has a story. And so about a week ago, I sat down with Joe by video, and we talked. And that's been edited together so that you can learn a little bit about Joe, his passions, and his shape. So, Joe Minchoffer's shape story.
I was going to be a do-everything. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go into medicine. I also wanted to be clergy. I also wanted to be a lawyer. So my ultimate goal was to come out of school and go into medical ethics. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize at the time that all that exposure that I had to medicine and everything was going to be so helpful to me in my later life. I was going through the courthouse. I think I saw a flyer for Renewal, which is the house for battered women here, and they said they needed volunteers. Someone then suggested, well, you work with the children, because they have been through the same trauma as their mothers have been through. And I realized at that point that was a gift. Looked around the house, I had extra bedrooms, and my kids out that were in distress. You know, their lives were torn asunder because of the trauma that they'd been through, some of the abuse. Sometimes they were hungry, sometimes they were, you know, with no clothes or anything of that nature. And they just needed a little bit of attention and love. Our fourth child that was placed with us was only supposed to be with us for a few weeks. But we took her to the doctor right after she joined our family, and it was diagnosed that she'd had traumatic brain injury, and that was due to the fact that she'd been thrown up against the wall. But we just took this loving little child into our home. She was about the size of a football, okay, and I would hold her in my arms, and she would then, you know, respond. But we found out that she was not going to be able to progress beyond that 5 or 6 month old level. And she was with us until she was almost 22 years old. Mm-hmm. Total of 98 children had gone through our home. Some of them were short term. Some of them, as I say, were many years. At average, probably, we had probably 5 or 6 in the home at a time. When we came to church here, the church just welcomed us, because yes, our family looked a whole lot different than the traditional American family, because we would come in with different kids in different weeks. We had different races with us at different times, but the whole church family just kind of said, come on in. Doors were changed so that we were able to actually wheel the wheelchair in. When I worked with the kids, Santa, tell them, what can you give? Every morning when you wake up, you can give a smile to those around you. That smile makes your folks happier. Their day starts off better than waking up with the grumpies. So if they're smiling, they go to work. They smile with their coworkers, and pretty soon that smile is like our own ripple. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And if we all start smiling with each other and living together with a little love and peace, and that's joy, peace, and happiness, and love, the whole world smiling together would be the ultimate gift. And I think that's what, you know, the first gift that we were given was given out of love. But I think we can all do the same thing if we follow that same example of giving a gift of love every morning.
All right.
I was going to be a do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go into medicine.
Okay. Some of you didn't know that about Joe. Joe and his late wife had 98 foster children over their lifetime. Many, if not most of them, were medically fragile. And when you think about Joe's story and you hear about when he went off to college, he wanted to major, it sounded like in everything, but, you know, wanted to be a clergy, wanted to be a lawyer, wanted to practice medicine, wanted to go into medical ethics. And if you don't know this, he ended up being an accountant. But yet, God used all of that, that sense of justice that he had, wanting to go into law, all the work that he had going into medicine. Later on, God had used that uniquely in a way that Joe is shaped that's unlike anyone else. And we all have those ways. And when we come together, we see as a church, the heart, the passions of all its members coming together is really what makes a church. Churches shouldn't be cookie cutters. It should be a reflection of the shape of its members and the shape that comes through that and the passion. And so we can see that as we're living into bringing the hope. We have some core values within that. Advocacy for children is one of them. Joe was actually a part of the vision team, and I didn't use that part of the interview, but he talked about that and how important that was for him because he is so passionate about children. Of course, he's Santa Claus now, but we see that lived out in so many ways. There's such a passion for children here. Think about all the teachers that we have. It's their profession to make the world a better and safer place for children. The long history that we have with children's ministry here, the building that we're still living into. We have no idea what God has prepared for that building as we are advocates for children. Our work in partnership with places like the Children's Home. And we've supported foster care through that. But just hearing these stories this morning may open some of us up for how we can be involved. There's such a great need in our county and in our state for foster care. We never know where God may lead us in that. There's other ways in which, you know, some of you, you know, you don't want to go teach Sunday school. You don't want to, but I see you living out that passion with the way you're serving. We have a group that comes and does the dinners for us on Wednesday night. You know, that's your shape. That's your shape. Not everyone's called to be a Sunday school teacher. Not everyone's called to be a foster parent. But you have a shape of how you serve. Some of you have in the past served with our ministry to Pine Street. We're about to get going again and done some tutoring and being big brothers and big sisters and those programs. There's so many ways in which we can minister in children. We also have this core belief of genuine compassion and hands-on mission. And we see that with people that, you know, that give. You know, every week they give. And some of you have the gift of giving. And I know sometimes I don't know, but oftentimes I get it whispered to us by our good financial people that, you know, you go over and beyond because you hear of a particular need that we have, just like Monk Kolke did back at Trinity on the Hill those years ago. Doing it time and time again. people that are serving by praying. We have a group that comes together every Wednesday and prays for our church. Or Monday. Ambassadors on Wednesday, yeah. But the genuine caring, though. We've got groups that go out during the week, our ambassadors, to show care and love for the members of our church and sometimes beyond. Clark McPherson, it's one of his ministries to go and to call on the sick, call on those that are homebound. The prayer team, again, prays for those as well. There's some of you, it's a unique ministry, and I've been the recipient of it so many times here recently, writing cards of encouragement. I've received so many from so many of you, and thank you. But I want to mention two people in particular, because as I've gone to visit people, I've heard time and time again, well, I know who I'm going to get the first cards from, and it's going to be Carla Hopkins, and it's going to be Earl Crocker. Those people, now I know a lot more do that, but those two, you know, they have that gift. They have that gift, the gift of evangelism. The gift of evangelism this summer, as we were bringing the hope, literally going outside into the pavilion and into Old Town with some of the ministry. So many of you were so gifted to come and have that great personality to talk to anybody and to make friends with anybody. But not everybody is skilled that way. You know, that is way out of the comfort zone for some folks. But yet there are many other ways in which you can serve and bring about evangelism. You think about our facilities team and the people that have worked on our grounds and the new great wall and the new green space that's been created. That is evangelism. You know, that beautification says to the world out there, you're invited and come. Our hospitality teams I've heard by people who have visited here, Lindsay being one of them, what a friendly church we are. Now, every church thinks they're friendly, but I've heard we're almost aggressively friendly. Because you love people. You care, and you care about our church. All the way out into the... we had recently had a mystery shopper. The conference has this program where you can sign up and they'll send somebody that you don't know to come to your church service and tell you how you're doing. And we got just A-plus marks across the way. I will tell you that with how hospitable we were. And a couple of things that they mentioned in particular was our golf cart team. Ron and Mike and the rest of folks that do such a great job of getting out there and greeting folks where they are. One person that they mentioned in particular, a child or young teenager, was Hannah England. They said they sat down at breakfast and Hannah England sat and talked to her and just told her about our church and was just so friendly and so nice. This is like, how old is Hannah? 13, 14? 16. All right, well, shows you how old I'm getting. But I'm saying it takes all of us, all of our shapes together, working to be the church. And sometimes you might say, well, I'm not called to teach, or I'm not called to children, or I'm not called to evangelism. But don't you see that it's all of us together using our gifts together to find that heart of passion? You know why? And this is one thing that I want you to hear, that I look around, and really all of you, but I see some of you in particular, you are a piece of work. You know that? You usually hear that in a negative way. But I want to say it to you in a positive way. Ephesians 3, 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork." Some translations say workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now I want to talk about that handiwork. There's a word there, poema. Is the Greek word. It means, and it looks like, and it means the same thing as poem. You are God's poem. You are God's beautiful poem. And as I look around our congregation, I see this creative work of the Holy Spirit writing this beautiful, beautiful poem through your life. It's an epic poem. And it's beautiful, and it comes from all the lives. You know, there is a mystery that goes on within God's church. There is mystery. All I can tell you is, whenever we're together, I see this beautiful poetry, this beautiful song, this beautiful work of art that's being lived out in this community, in this body of Christ that we sometimes call Conyers First. Through all the different gifts and talents and graces and service that you do, always willing to bring the hope, to offer a cup of water in Christ's name. And sometimes, there are folks out in the community that need the water. Sometimes we need the water. Sometimes I need the water. But part of being in the church of Jesus Christ is knowing that the cup will always be filled in His name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the blessing of this morning, for this service, man, God, it was such a blended service today. We had just a little bit of everything in this service today, and we just thank you for how we see your church in action, and how even sometimes out of our chaos that you can make order and bring us together in bringing and proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. And so be with us now as we go out to bring the hope. Go with us now as we go and to have this meal together. Bless our fellowship. Bless the food. Bless us as we serve together. In the loving and holy and powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Go in God's peace.